If you got your Bible, open it up to Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. This is one of those scriptures that I use. Sometimes God will lead me to start here. It's kind of a jumping off place. It's a good place to where we can go and from here about anywhere we want to go. Praise the Lord. Let me adjust this real quick, get it down this way. Here we go. And then I like this one. I also like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul prayed that he give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. What? In the knowledge of him. The knowledge of him. How many of you know that it's about us, but it's about us because he made it about us? Now, you know, here, you know, things, again, I remember as a 21 to 23-year-old Bible school student, hearing people, you know, that have been in the ministry 40 years talk about, you know, if you're around long enough, things seem to come and you know, they cycle around and things come back up. It might get dressed a little different, might get put, and hearing them say that, and my main thought was, boy, those people are old. But now, you know, 41, almost 42 years of being in the ministry, you know that's true. Things come around and that. And one of the things, and I don't know, you know, just seems like good to share a little bit tonight. One of the things that I know this, that is one of the devil's weapons. How many of you know the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of his devices? You know, and he brings thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to the Word of God. But another area that he really, I think, tries to work in is to get us in a place of being passive towards him and not standing up, not knowing our rights and privileges. So here, you know, you hear people, and now, you know, what I'm hearing, you know, and can I just say this? You can't learn any theology hardly on social media. Thank God for it. But get your theology from the Bible, because that's the book for me, right? Get it from there. Social media tells people what's going on. It's attractive. It's a way to reach people. Hopefully we're trying to reach people who aren't saved, right? You know what I'm saying? But to help strengthen, but, you know, it helps us in our letting the church know what we're doing and all those type of things, and that's very important. But, you know, I'm hearing people on there on now about, you know, we've got to quit with all these me-centered sermons. And I got to thinking about, okay, what are we talking about here? We got to talk about how great God is. Well, duh. You know, sometimes I'm really, you know, use really big words like that. Duh. Do you need the etymology? What does that mean? The word origin? I have no idea. I just know it means duh. And it's a very useful word at times. But it's the great God who made it about you. For God so loved you, the world, that he sent Jesus. Now I realize, you know, but that sounds spiritual. That sounds really religious. But the Bible talks about false humility. False humility. And the devil wants us all to think, you know, that we're just nothing. We're the scum of the earth, you know. I'm just a worm. Amen. Now, I'll say this. You might have been. But when you came in contact with Jesus and the life of God moved on the inside of you, you ceased to be what you were and you became something brand new. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things now are of God. Glory to God. Now, yeah, we've got this flesh to still deal with, but that's all right. We've got what we need. We've got the grace of God to deal with our flesh. And yes, I would be foolish to take the credit for it myself. But I don't, I'll be honest with you, I'm not hearing a whole lot of people taking credit for it. We're talking about God. And then ministers, you know, I'm hearing and some well-known talking about how that, you know, Jesus didn't come to make your life better. Okay. You look like you're doing pretty good. These ones I'm hearing saying, I mean, I don't understand. I realize Jesus didn't come just to make our life better. But when that life of God went in us, it got better. Right? It is part of the covenant. So, you know, if you've been in this, every once in a while this will come up, and the result of it is to try, to me, the plan of the devil is to try to get us to back off of declaring who we are and living what we are. Living as a new creature in Christ. Living as the righteousness of God in Him. Now, you notice, I haven't left God out of it, have I? I'm a new creature where? In Christ. I'm the righteousness of God where? In Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks be unto God who always gives me the victory. I'm not leaving God out of it. But I'm also not going to sit back and let the devil have anything. Don't get passive in your faith. Pastor talked about this morning about the name of Jesus. Don't back off using the name of Jesus. And listen, we just don't use that name and that authority that we have in, when trouble comes up. We use it all the time. All the time declaring what God's word says about every situation. Let God be true, every man a liar. And I make that personal. Let God be true and Tad a liar. If I'm believing something, doing something, saying something that's contrary to the word of God, I'm lying. God's true. Amen. Now, let me say this. I'm going to tell you this. A healed life's a whole lot better than a sick life. And by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're mad because I'm well because of Jesus. I'm sorry if you think I made it about myself. But he didn't die. He didn't take stripes on his back because he was sick. He did it because I was sick. Amen. He didn't need peace. I did. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. He didn't need it. I needed it. He didn't need delivered from the sin nature. I did. I had a sin nature. But he delivered me. Amen. Don't get passive. Don't let modern doctrines of devils. I'm sorry, I'm going to call it exactly what it is. Modern doctrines of devils talk you out of your place in Christ and what he has made you. Now again, it'd be foolish for me to think it's me. Right? I know it's not me. That's why, you know, throughout the scriptures it talks about all of us were sinners. God included all of us under sin so that Jesus could be Savior of us all. Amen. I mean, now some people, bless their hearts, they're proud of their sin heritage. They want to talk about all the things they used to do, how evil they were. Listen, if you messed up one time your whole life, you failed. Because without Christ, there's no way to God. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? Thank God. So we're not making light of Jesus. In fact, we're lifting him up. Every time I talk about what he's done in my life, I'm lifting him up. Without him, I can do nothing. We talk about the in him realities. Every once in a while, you know, we should just remind ourselves about the in me realities. In me, I can do nothing. In me, I can. Now, I'm not saying don't make your 3x5 card and put that. Don't make it a daily confession on your bathroom, you know, your mirror there. But in me, without him, I can't do anything without him. I can get a lot of mess, but you know what I'm saying. The Bible says, take heed because you think you know something. Without him, you know nothing. Without him, I'd have nothing. But thank God Thank God, thank God, thank God, he didn't leave me in that condition. Thank God, hallelujah. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And something new takes place then. And I'm not that person anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you find Philemon? If not, don't give up, but just look up on the screen here. Verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now here over the past couple of years, I've read this scripture several times and in messages here, but I like to remind myself as I go, because I that's the reason I wrote these notes in my Bible. The word communication here means that our partnership, our fellowship, or our participation. Now, some folks, they want to take communication here, and you can mean it, the sharing of your faith becoming effective, and that would be okay. But it really means your partnership, your fellowship, your participation of our faith would become effectual. That word means active and powerful. Active and powerful. Now, how's that happen? Through the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. But don't leave off the next, in Christ Jesus. Yes. Acknowledgement means recognition. I like this. If you look it up, this word also carries with it the idea of having full discernment. Full discernment. And then I like this precise and correct knowledge. What does it mean? What does it mean to have the life of God in us, in me? I need precise and correct knowledge through that. And I'm to acknowledge it. I'm to recognize it. Well, one way that you recognize something is you begin to declare it. Amen. You declare what it is that God has done in you and what God has done for you. I know this morning we showed a video. If you weren't here, you can go online, watch the service. But a video of people starting, you know, their testimony. And we're looking for testimonies of what God has done. The declaring of what God has done in your life could be the catalyst for God doing something similar in someone else's life. But, you know, something that's real to you, you declare. Amen. Now, I realize there may be some people in here that they didn't want anybody to know that they did this. But for the most part, when all of us got married, we declared it. Some of you might have done it. You got married and didn't tell anybody. You know. But you know, when you really believe something, you talk about it. You're passionate about it. All right? So the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Now we could go any direction from this, but I just feel like this is where we want to go tonight. How many of you believe in God for something tonight? All right? You know, every time we come, we ought to just believe God that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us. Help us tonight. Now, this is my favorite phrase in the whole Bible, because I think this explains, you know, what it means to be a new creature in Christ, what it means to be a child of God, to be adopted into the family of God, to have everything that had to do with my old life completely be done away with and brought into a new family, given a new name with a new inheritance. All the debts attached to my old life, I'm talking about your spiritual life, everything, every wrong I'd ever done, every debt I'd ever accrued in my old life, totally wiped out in a moment, in an instant, and to stand as a fully recognized adult in a new family with new rights and privileges. Glory to God. And that's verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God. But God. But God. I don't care what came before, but God is a good phrase. Amen. That's why, you know, don't get caught up in what all that was before God. Get caught up in what happened after, but God. But God. God saw all that, but he did something about it. Glory to God. But God, read what it says, who is rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. How many of you know John said, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's not that I said, God, I love you, and he returned. No, he loved me first. In fact, he loved me, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. Jesus said in John 17, Father, show them that you love them just as you love me. You love me before the foundation of the world. God's love for us is not based on our actions. It's not based on where you were born. It's not based on anything. It's based upon his decision before he created anything ever in the foundation of the world. It's based upon that. He decided to love you unconditionally. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm loved by God. You need to, you know, I heard somebody say this, and I didn't understand it when they first said it, but I'm getting better understanding of it. Preach yourself the gospel every day. Tell yourself the good news of what? But God, who is rich in mercy. Wherewith, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. There's no lack to God's mercy. You never get to God and say, I'm sorry, I'm all out of mercy today. You know, that's kind of what Peter asked him. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? You think about seven times. I mean, that's quite a bit. You know, most of us have written you off by four times. Forget them. Four times. I mean, they've done this four times. I'm forgetting them. Jesus said, I say not to you seven times, but seven times 70. 490. And the insinuation is, in the same day, 490. That's a lot. 490. Now, that also, I will say this, that also doesn't, now, that doesn't mean we've got permission to start counting either. Because the Bible says the love of God takes no account of an evil done to it. Well, I've got them. They're at 489. Ooh, here we go. Boy, 491, I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to let them have a piece of my mind. Now, let me caution all of us. Some of us, we can't afford to give away any pieces of our mind. We need all we got. Even but God, hallelujah, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. See, he didn't wait till we got right. He didn't wait on us. He did something for us so that he could, if you want to, so he could have us. Even when we were dead in sins, has, the King James says, hath. That means past tense, right? So this is something that's already done. I love this about Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. It talks about what God did first. What God has already done. He's not waiting. We're not waiting for God to quicken us. He's already done it. He has quickened us together with Christ by grace you're saved. How many of you know God raised Jesus from the dead? In fact, if you don't believe Jesus is raised from the dead, you have no basis for faith. And if God did not raise Jesus, and I'm hearing this, I'm hearing people openly challenge the resurrection. Challenge it. Said, how can you people believe in resurrection? It's easy. I met the guy that was raised. I mean, I'm sorry. I know him by name. He knows my name, and I know his name, and I talk to him all the time. Well, where is he? Well, he's in here. And he's seated at the right hand of God. In fact, he's everywhere, I mean, by his Spirit. You ever thought about Romans 10? It says there that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved, that his lordship. So believing that, well, he is alive, glory to God. He is alive. And because of that life, he was raised up. And when I come to him by grace, in faith, through faith, then we get raised together with him. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are raised together with him. Quickened, made alive together. Everybody say, I'm alive. He said, by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. Grace always talks about what God has done. Now, grace is wonderful. Grace works out in front of us. It's ahead of us. Grace is already provided. You go back to creation there in Genesis chapter 1. Notice that God did not create man until the rest of it was done. Why? Because he's a gracious God. He put man in the garden. And he said, now it's up to you to keep it. You watch over it, you keep it, but it's already here for you. God's grace does that way. Verse 6, it says, and has raised us up together. So not only are we alive, we're raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ. The Bible talks over and over about how that our citizenship is of heaven. We are now the child. You're now the child of God. You, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. We still live in this earth, but we're no longer of this world, the Bible says. We are ambassadors here. Now, you know, before you get all, you know, some people will take things and they'll get over in a ditch and they'll try to live their life in the ditch. Stay out of the ditch. Okay, stay in the road. And stay in your lane, please. And if you're going to change lanes, please signal. Oh, sorry, that's a whole nother message there. But really, staying in your lane is a good message. I know here a few years ago, Sam Smucker at one of our graduations talked about that. How that you'd set your plow. And if you've ever farmed, you know, you got to look out in front of it. You're not going to stay in your lane if you keep your eye down. You got to look in front of you and see. You got to set a point out there and then stay with that. You got to look down every once in a while, you know. When we were growing soybeans and cultivating those, you're in a tractor, you got a cultivator, it's got disc on it, you know. If you're not careful, you could do what we'd call mow down the beans. Your job's not to mow the beans. Your job is to turn the soil over and get the weeds that are growing out in that. So you'd set your tractor, set your tires in the row. Thank you, furrow. Thank you, and look out ahead of you. But also on that tractor, when the tires out there, we'd put a chain, and you got to keep that chain in that row. Right. Then when you get to the end, you got to learn how to time it. Raise that up. Put that big old tire in the back into that row that's going this way. Now you've been going that way. Now you're going. Put it in that row. Spin that thing around right there without wiping out soybeans. My grandfather, bless his heart, as he got older, he started struggling with his eyesight a little bit, and so we had to. He still wanted to get out there and get in the tractor and cultivate. Well, I didn't have to, but my uncle and my dad, you know, had to say, you know, tell their dad, no, dad, you can't do that. Let these young guys do that. But we'd be out there. Then, you know, after you cultivate, sometimes you got to walk and you got to cut the weeds out of the beans. Okay. And we never had any fancy. Some of these guys, man, they had machines. They go out there and they're riding along. They got their little hook, you know, thing, and they're hooking. No, we're out there walking in the morning, getting with the dew. You come out of there with you got to wear jeans. If you don't, you just come out of there soaking wet from cutting weeds out of beans. And every time, you know, I think back to that, I just so mad at Adam for what he did. Because Genesis 3 talks about, you know, like these weeds. How do these weeds grow so well? Right? But anyway, come out of there, and we'd get out there, and we'd be walking, uh-oh. And my grandfather, sometimes he'd still walk with us. He'd say, oh, looks like some lightning hit this. Well, we knew what lightning it was, so we started calling him Grandpa Lightning. Because what had happened, he got out of the row a little bit and mowed it down. So stay in your row, will you? I said all that to say this, stay in your row and don't mow down other Christians. That's free. I just throw that in there for free, okay? All right. He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come. Now, don't put that all off into eternity. Yes, it includes eternity, but it starts the moment you're born again, the ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know. I hear some people talking about how in the ages to come, God's going to show us his judgment and his wrath and his awful power. You know, they talk about God's power like it's something. No, God's power is working on our behalf for good. And notice he says he wants to show us his what? His kindness is way more powerful than his judgment. He's going to show us his kindness. From the moment you got born again, well, even before that, because he did it through Jesus, God's been trying to show you his kindness. Now that word, just the word kindness, as you trace it throughout the Bible, one of the in the Old Testament especially, it's the word, it comes translated, the phrase loving kindness, tender mercies, comes from a word that means literally has no meaning outside of covenant relationship. It means God is faithful to his covenant. He's kind. David said, is there not one left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? That covenant that he had with Jonathan, Jonathan's dead, Saul's dead. He said, isn't there anybody left? This covenant is before me. Why? He had a mark in his hand. He had cut the covenant with Jonathan, and he looks every time he looked at it. Every time his children, his sons saw, what's that mark for, Dad? I had a covenant with Jonathan. Isn't there anybody left? It's so, and God, we ever live before God in his thoughts and his mind. How many of you know it was not your idea to create yourself? This was God's idea. Mankind was God's idea. And he hasn't left us to ourselves just to do whatever. Well, do your best down there. Hope everything goes all right. Maybe someday you'll make it back. No. He's worked on our behalf. That in the ages to come. Then verse 8, praise the Lord. For by grace are you saved. How many of you realize here the grace of God and the mercy of God is being talked about and is really being lifted up? Now, I didn't save myself. I can't save you. Right? It's God's grace that does that. But oh, that word saved. How big is that word? That word is bigger than any of us have ever, ever, ever gotten our thinking around. I don't know that we'll ever get our thinking around, but something down on the inside, my spirit man rises up and wants to grab a hold of that and say, I'm saved. I'm saved. Because not only does it mean I'm saved from sin, it means that I'm saved from everything that has to do with what happened in the garden with Adam. I'm saved, glory to God. I'm saved. I'm saved spiritually, I'm saved mentally, and my soul, and I'm saved in my body, glory to God. Now because of that, because of sin, this body won't live forever. We're going to get a new resurrected body, a new body. And we groan, this body's groaning till that redemption. The Bible says the whole earth, Romans 8 says the whole earth's groaning for that redemption. It's going to happen. This body is going to finally catch up with what's happening in my spirit, the life of God. So you're not going to stop yourself from getting older. But that doesn't mean you have to become feeble. That doesn't mean you have to, well, I'm old now, I don't remember anything. Quit saying dumb stuff like that. Amen. Here a few years ago, I noticed that I was having trouble remembering, especially names or different things. I'd get right in the middle of a sentence, forget what I was talking about. And I didn't say anything to Amanda for a while, but I was looking at some things in the Word, and I started attacking it. So no, I have a great memory. My mind, my soul is infused with the Word of God. Hallelujah. My mind, glory to God, is sharp. Hallelujah. And, you know, my filing system of my mind works perfectly. You know, the older you get, the more files you got up there. But that doesn't mean it has to slow down. Right? I mean, Moses walked off at 120 years old into the mountains of Jordan over there and looked into the promised land, then walked off, and they never found him because he walked off straight into heaven. But he walked off sharp. The Bible says his eye was not dim. His mind wasn't dim. Well, if he can stay sharp under the old covenant, how much more can we stay sharp under the grace of God and the mercy of God? Hallelujah, we're saved. Amen. Why? Well, again, it's not about me and my accumulation, but sharp and alive to do whatever God's called me to do. Because I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm going to heaven regardless. But that doesn't mean I don't have things to do here for God. Earlier in, later on in Ephesians. Sorry about that. My mic keeps working its way up my face here for some reason. Later in Ephesians, he talks about our calling. Our calling. Paul prayed about Ephesians 1. But your calling, every one of us has a calling, a divine invitation to participate with what God's doing on the earth today. All right? Let's read on here. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's through the avenue of faith to receive what grace has already provided. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And I know one time I was thinking about this. Well, what's the gift of God? The grace? The salvation? The faith? Well, yes, all of it's the gift of God. All of it comes from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So see, it's not about us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Whether or not any organization on earth ever ordains you, you've been ordained by God. Now that doesn't mean go print your business cards and call yourself Reverend or Most High or anything like this. Ordained means God has a plan for your life. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God has a plan for me. Tell your other neighbor, God has a plan for you. Amen. Acknowledge what's in you. Acknowledge the good things that are in you. Acknowledge what's in you in Christ. What has God put in you? Start acknowledging it. And as you acknowledge it, you'll see the manifestation of it. Amen. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you praise and honor in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We boldly declare that we are saved by grace. Thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, our prayer team's coming up here. If you need prayer for anything tonight, don't leave here without coming to God. God will meet you where you are. He's already thought about your condition. He's already provided what you have need of. Have someone come up here and have someone agree with you in prayer. Amen. And they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. That's where answers come from God's Word. Praise God. As you go about this week, don't forget who you are, all right? Don't forget who God is, obviously, but don't forget who you are in Him. And declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Don't become passive. Don't just let life happen to you. Make life happen. I know our critics don't like that. They don't like us talking like that. What do you mean, make life happen? You live in a fantasy world. Yeah, leave me alone. It's a great life. Just because you don't comprehend it doesn't make it real. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, ask Bill and Zach but they abandoned me tonight. But God didn't abandon us, did He? Amen. Well, shake hands with several folks tonight before you leave. Tell them you love them. You can be dismissed. God bless you.